This is On the Mark, and really pleased to be joined by Lance Briggs today. Number 55, 12 years, a Chicago Bear doing great work with Score with a Q, S-Q-O-R. We'll get to that in a little bit. But so, as I'm getting ready to talk to you today, Lance, I go to your website, lancebriggs.com. Mm-hmm. First thing, you list who you are, what your talents are. First thing you put on there, I liked it. You got father, number one.
Number one. Absolutely.
What? How old are the kids? What do we got going on right now?
Man, we're spanning from 9 to 2.
How many?
4. Okay. 2 girls and 2 boys.
Okay.
And they're amazing. I don't think that they get to see their father as much as they should, But as a dad and a guy who always wants to be able to try to provide, there are certain sacrifices that you have to make, and I learned that through football.
Well, and that's a great lesson for your kids, too, at some. I don't know if the 2-year-old can quite digest it right now, but, providing and doing what you got to do, right? I mean, there's something to be said there. Now, after that, you're a commentator, of course. We see you in Chicago on Comcast talking about the Bears, and we see you nationally all the time. And you're out, look at you, out and about today.
Yes.
So you're getting your voice out there. I like it.
I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. I'm analytical in a football way. You have your guys who run your numbers and have your numbers all set here, and they study that. I can tell you the ins and outs of football. So me and Alex Brown, we go back and forth. Jim Miller is a number cruncher, very, very good number cruncher.
So, okay, because now you're hitting on an area for me that I see. The number crunchers, I have a hard time identifying. It's boring to me. It's hard to digest. But I like a guy like yourself. Mm-hmm. Hall of Famer to be, the whole thing. Like, I love sitting with guys like you when I get the chance to watch a football game and tell me exactly what happened in the play.
Right.
That, to me, is way more interesting.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm sure it is. So when you're watching, it's the same thing. You sit up there with the number crunch, they got to do their thing. But I'm assuming it's more interesting for you to actually hear from guys who played it and can break it down.
What's interesting is I was talking with Peanut, he was kind of saying the same thing. He's like, man, I'm sitting here with Colin and he's got all these numbers and set and everything. And he's like, if I don't do a whole week of crunching all these numbers, and then I have my notes here, and I have to look at my notes to make sure I'm right on my numbers. He's like, then I'm just not good at that. He said, Colin grabs him and he says, that's just who I am. I'm a number cruncher. Like, you're a football player. You're an ex-football player. He said, so your expertise is showing people what's going on in the play or teaching them about football. Mine is backing up my knowledge with the numbers.
Right.
It's just how we fit.
So, okay, not looking at the numbers. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, everyone's trying to prop up. I'm going to bring it into the Bears right now.
Okay.
The Bears go out. They let Jay Cutler go.
Okay.
They bring in Mike Glennon.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, which one is it here? Because, to me, If you look at the numbers on Mike Glennon, you can make a case for him. But then I can also look at the film and hey man, you get any pressure on Mike Glennon and he ends up on the ground. Now I don't know.
Here's my question. Do you think any case says that you keep number 6 here?
I think you can make a financial case for it. Because if you're gonna pay Mike Glennon $19 million guaranteed, you can basically have Jay for less. For 1 year, and then you could draft a quarterback, and hopefully if that guy comes along, you can develop him, and then you can let Jay go after the season. But I don't know if you can. I think there's something for the Bears about moving on from Jay. At some point, you got to do it.
8 years.
8 years. Long time.
8 years is a lot of opportunities
one playoff win.
Right. But I remember. I was there.
Yeah, right.
I was there.
So what would you say about Jay?
When Jay can't, when the deal was made and Jay was coming, couldn't have been happier. I couldn't have been happier. But we're a team that, we were a top 5 defense and we were top 5 special teams, on most of those years. And when you have that kind of combination, and we had some good offensive players, I'm taking that away from offensive guys. But when you have that combination, all you got to do is Trent Dilfer a game.
Right.
Just got to Trent Dilfer a game. You know what that means? You just got to manage the game. Don't turn the ball over. And, we'd consistently be in the playoffs and we're consistently making those runs for those championships.
Right. So that's it. 102 games with the Bears, 500 record, 109 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The whole leadership thing, to me, it matters at the quarterback position. you would know better than me. But you're kind of shaking your head on that.
There's different demographics for different teams. Our demographics, you know, when Jay came here, our leaders were Olin Krutz, Brian Urlacher, you know, we had leaders in place, you know, and everybody else led in our own way. So Jay, it was a decent fit for him because he didn't have to come out and ooze, you know, leadership to everybody, you know, because it wasn't necessary.
Okay, so what was your relationship with him like?
Oh, he played offense and I played defense.
Yeah, fair enough.
Every day. Well, every day he did.
Well said. I get it. Here, so let's go back to the bio for you for a second as we're jumping around. You put on there philanthropist and Briggs for Kids.
Indeed.
It's
done
beautiful.
A lot.
You grew up in Sacramento.
Yep.
You love Arizona where you went to school.
Absolutely.
By the way, if you don't know, Lance, third round pick out of Arizona, Chicago, you should know that. But in case you don't, let's get it on the record.
And you want to pick the Wildcats to win this bracket. If you're doing your brackets, pick your Arizona.
Well, you got them. I saw you were upset about the 2 seed.
They're in a tough bracket.
They are.
They're in a decently tough bracket right there.
Those games are going to be basically at home for you now.
Yep. Like I said, some years they say, you know, oh man, you should pick your bracket with your head or pick it with your heart. I can pick both right now and still be right.
You're also in the 1 seed with Gonzaga.
Fine by me.
Right, exactly.
They're familiar foes.
Right.
We lost to them earlier. I like our chances this year.
Okay.
Or this time around.
Okay, now we got the NCAA tournament out of the way. I think you're in a fine spot. But I think it's just great that you know you've been in Chicago. You played for 12 years.
Yes.
And you have your home in Sacramento, and then where you played, and you're trying to impact kids in all three areas. I think that's just awesome.
Yeah, it's those are the three places that I'm most familiar with, and the folks that the locals there are most familiar with me.
When you get in the NFL, when does it dawn on you? Hey, okay, I'm making this money. I have this platform. I want to give back. Was that something that you were thinking about in college all the way back, or was it kind of in the middle of your career? You know what? I'd like to do something like this.
I mean, I didn't know I was going to play. I didn't know I was going to be playing in the NFL, you know, until my sophomore year, you know, and people started telling me, you know, you're making some noise because these scouts keep talking about you. You know, up until then, it was just, I just want to win a Pac-12 championship.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to win a Pac-12 championship, try to get into the Rose Bowl, you know, but once I knew I was going to get drafted, and once I ended up getting drafted, then I always knew that I wanted to do something back in the Sacramento area because as a kid, I never saw any professional football players. You know, I never went up to San Francisco, you know, never drove out to San Francisco. So in Sacramento, you know, it was just Sacramento Kings, you know, and nobody knows any players from the Sacramento Kings back then. You know, but
I'm trying to think. Was that the golden era of the C. Weber Sacramento Kings?
This is before that.
Yeah, okay.
We're talking Wayman Tisdale era.
I love with the name
Spud
on
Webb,
the name on the bottom of the jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
Reggie Theus back in the day.
Reggie Theus.
Yeah, I like those Kings. Okay, continue on.
And so I always knew I wanted to bring professional athletes to an area where I know kids definitely don't get to see these guys each day.
Right.
You know, in Chicago. A kid could be downtown or a kid could be in a specific area and get a chance to bump into his hero. You know, I hear a lot of stories from people in my neighborhood that say, man, I have this great story running into Walter Payton. You know, I have this great story. You know, I ran into Dick Butkus and all the greats out in Chicago. You know, kids have a greater chance of seeing, you know, some of their professional heroes than they do in the little town in Sacramento.
Yeah, so when you walk into whatever fundraiser you're doing and you see the reaction, and some of these kids, they probably like, oh, like they know you, but they don't like really. But they're still like in awe of seeing you.
Right.
It's got to be a great feeling.
Well, I mean, that's that also a difference too. You know, and I'll go and have an appearance at an elementary school here in Chicago or one of the greater areas.
Yeah.
You know, kids will know details of my life.
Yeah.
You know, details, you know, and, you know, when I go on to Sacramento, you know, do a big football camp and we start asking questions to kids, you know, some kids are like, you know, what high school did you go to? You know, okay, I go to that high school too, right. You know, and then they start putting pieces together. Yeah. So it's just different.
Yeah, that's the connection. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move on to You're doing great work with Scores, with SQOR.
SQOR.
So, and I watched the video that you're walking around Soldier Field. Everybody should check it out, and we'll have a link for it here as well. But, you're talking about CTE.
Yep.
Which, is a super scary topic. And, again, 12 years in the league, collision after collision after collision.
Well, on top of 4 years in college, on top of
practice.
4 years in high school, on top of 7 years before leading up to high school.
And you're in the video, you talk about how much you love the game.
Yes.
And the adrenaline of the game.
Right.
And the high that you get playing.
Right.
So I'm assuming that if you could go back and do it again, you would still play. Is that
no doubt.
Okay.
I wouldn't change what I did. And I wouldn't change anything about the game. The game really taught me a lot. Life lessons. It brought my family together. You know, it brought a lot of happy moments. Like a lot of happy moments for me and my loved ones.
Right. So, you talked earlier, you got four kids.
Yes.
Two boys.
Yes.
You gonna encourage them to play football?
If they want to. You know, I mean, my oldest son, he's gonna be a black belt soon, you know.
He's eight.
Eight
black belt.
Yeah.
So your oldest son could beat me up, basically, is what you're saying.
If he had to. He would say it. He would say he could. Okay. He would definitely say it.
I would actually believe him.
Okay. You know, but he's a black belt. He's in boxing. He does boxing. You know, he does boxing. He wants to wrestle. You know, all of these sports have consequences.
Yeah.
They all have consequences, you know. But if it's something that he's passionate about, then... You know, I'm not going to be the person to hold him back.
Right. Now, you're in school. I'm assuming that you're doing that partly because you want to learn, but also partly because you're trying to keep your brain active. Is that accurate?
Yes, yes. One of the things that I believe will keep CTE away is just making sure that you always have a full plate. Always have a full plate. You know, it keeps me always busy, and sometimes I'm always moving and everybody's not always happy because they're like, well, your football's over, you should be one place, you know. But for me, you know, I see CTE kind of like arthritis for our bodies. You know, for us football players, you know, it's going to happen. You know, the doctor said it's a guarantee you're going to get it, and you're going to get it soon if you're not working out every day.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you can keep it away.
See, I do the Bears postgame show on WGN Radio, so I see Ed Obradovich, who's 75 years old.
Yep.
And he's pretty sharp for, playing football, not playing football up top.
Yeah.
And I see Dan Hampton, who I guess is in your, I was looking at some of your tweets, it's in your all-time great, defensive team, Dan Hampton Hall of Famer's in there.
Up there.
Yeah, I mean, no
question. Did you like my picks?
I'll jump into that right now. I love Wilbur Marshall. Like, that was, when I was a kid, the Super Bowl champion, 85 Bears, that was it.
He only played 1 year, but.
I mean, you can't put Wilbur Marshall ahead of you. You just can't do that.
Oh, yeah, well.
Were you taking yourself out of the equation?
Yeah, I'm taking myself out of the argument.
Okay.
There's so many great linebackers that played here.
Yeah.
That for me, you know, I could kind of close my eyes and throw darts and it'd be a good three.
Okay. I mean, that crew, it was, you know, Singletary, Wilbur, Otis.
Yeah.
They were all great.
Right.
And they were all nuts.
Yeah.
And it was incredibly fun to watch.
Right.
And then yourself and Brian. I mean, that was.
We had a great run.
You did. You really, really did. Back to the bowl, and there was just. I mean, that's what the Bears are.
Yeah.
There's a certain, like, you can't run from the history of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just something about, like, you should play Bears football. Do you believe in that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, without a doubt. I think Bears football is a rookie that comes in the locker room. And at the end of December, and it's, 18 degrees outside, and he's putting on a long sleeve shirt, and one of the older defensive guys comes over and he says, we don't wear shirts on Sundays.
See, I always
like, you're like, what? What do you mean? I'm from California, man. What are you talking about?
That's how we run out.
Right.
We don't have a dome stadium. We're not going all Minnesota Viking.
Yep.
Detroit Lion.
This is our home field advantage.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I got one current question. What do you think about Martellus playing for Green Bay?
I'm happy for him. I hope he finds success. You know, it's, in this business, it's not a, do I wish he was playing for the Bears? I wish he was happy in playing for the Bears, but
yeah.
In this business, and congrats to him. He won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in this business, the loyalties from teams to players is, it's a business.
Fair enough.
You know, so the loyalty goes as far as the business goes.
Fair enough. Now we're winding all the way back to Hamp and OB. I see all these guys move. I mean,
yeah,
it's painful to watch, to be honest. And you know, their knee replacements and whatnot. So that's all. I think that's also part of it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like how do you got to keep your mind as right as you can, but you also, I don't know, do you do like the yoga, the Pilates, or how do you keep yourself where so physically you can move around when you get older?
Well, when I'm in Arizona, it's easy, especially this time of year. So when I'm home, I typically will get up in the morning and I'll bike.
Yeah.
You know, I bike for 10, 15 miles a day. I have all these mountains around, so I hike each week. I don't necessarily do the pounding of running.
Yeah.
But, you know, the biking, hiking, you know, I'll get, I have one of my best friends owns a gym. So, you know, we'll go over to the gym, we'll get my workouts in. And in Arizona, it's a lot easier to do everything each day.
Yeah.
You know, it's tranquil too, because you bike riding, you're surrounded by desert here, yeah. Surrounded by a desert here.
It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's winters.
Yes.
It's tough, mm-hmm. but it's bare weather. I get it. It's great for football, but it's not great for long term.
For long, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, are you feeling any symptoms in your mind as far as like trying to keep away, or are you just thinking like, hey, I see these guys and I know it's possible for me with what I've done in my career?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is about CTE. Most football, you know, I think we all have some form of it or some level, even if it's a low level.
Right.
It's funny because a lot of us, we all joke around about it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, if we forget something or we mess up a name or something, we're like, oh, well, you know, that CTE, buddy. Got that CTE, you know. We laugh about it, which is cool, you know, because you make light of a real situation,
yeah.
You know, instead of being depressed about it, you know, and I think that's what this platform really we're trying to do is show, you know, kind of show the world and a lot of people that have all these questions that a guy that played, you know, I played at a high level, you know, how do you live with it? You know, how do you live with it? What are your, what are the things that you do to kind of, I don't say block it out, but to keep it away?
Well, it's, if I was going to like play amateur psychologist, like you got to like approach the fear of the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. And not just completely deny it, and then mm-hmm. and do what you're doing, which is mm-hmm. being active.
Stay active. Keep your brain firing.
Right.
You know, always have something that you know you're it's provoking your mind. You know, and you're always moving around. You know, just stay as active as possible.
See, when I was in school, I mean, I knew that I wasn't going to be a professional athlete. I was close.
Like, yeah.
You know, I was successful at every level except for junior high, high school, college, and pro. But outside of, I mean, the
it's
rec
definitely
league.
Less rec important
league,
than
the,
that.
The rec league. Yeah. I mean, you should see me on the softball field, Lance. It's
nice.
It's big time. But I wasn't, you know, I wasn't like Johnny Student either. Like, mm-hmm. it would all work out some way.
Right.
You know, it mostly has. But I don't know, were you a student back in the day? Like, even then? Like, when you're playing football, and I know you said you didn't realize you were going to play in the NFL till mm-hmm. your sophomore year, but were you a guy that actually liked being in the classroom? Because you're taking school now, and, like, for me to go back to school, like, oh, my God. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, well, yeah, that school thing, I wasn't a guy who applied himself in school. I knew that I couldn't have football without school. You know, and that was, you know, that was just the way that my motivation, that's the way I worked, you know. I was never going to put myself in a position where school, because of school, football would be taken away.
Yeah.
You know, I had some run-ins and I had some close calls, but, you know, I dug myself out of those ditches and made sure that the balance was there.
Yeah. So what does it feel like now sitting in there? You're getting what degree are you going for?
You know, I left school as a psych social major. You know, at this point now, because times have changed,
yeah.
You know, in 14, 15 years, you know, now they can mix majors up and throw the majors at you and you can graduate. So it's actually pretty awesome.
Well, yeah, time, that's, you're working with Score with Q.
Mm-hmm.
Times have changed.
Yes.
You're making 2.5-3 minute videos, and this, you have a series out here, 12 minutes, and you're talking, I don't have it in front of me, I should. The actual title of the series is?
Time of My Life. It's right here for
you. Oh, no, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate that. Time of My Life, mm-hmm. and Okay, so it means two things. You're juggling the incredibly packed schedule,
yes.
And you're also, dealing with CTE. And were you approached by SCORE? How did all this come to be?
You know what? We were just sitting around, and the question kind of came up. You know, well, Lance, what do you do now? What are your plans now that you're not playing football? And one would think that I would be relaxing,
right.
And I said, I can't relax. I have to fill my plate up with all kinds of things. I have to be as active as possible. And the question was asked, well, why? And I said, I need to keep my brain firing. I look at players like Junior Seau, ton of players that I respect, and a lot of times you don't see things coming. I was talking with somebody about Nate Webster.
Yeah.
And these guys, and he said he'd heard stories about him when he was growing up, 10, 14 years ago. And so for me, it hits home because I'm a linebacker and my game was really built around hitting.
Yeah.
And now I think that the best way for me to keep some of that stuff away is to keep a full plate. I haven't had any of those kinds of thoughts or anything like that, which I'm glad, but I don't ever want to have them.
Right.
That's the key.
I like it as far as just keeping the activity going. I mean, you look at former Bears in that situation. I mean, Dave Duerson was not a guy that you would ever peg for anything close to that. I mean, intellectual
right.
guy who played football.
Right.
I mean, not a crazy man at all, really.
Mm-hmm.
At least from I mean, I didn't know Dave personally, but as somebody watching him. And then, you see what happens. Like, how is that even possible?
Yeah.
Like, you don't know a guy. I get it. I'm just somebody watching. But it's just, someone like yourself, mm-hmm. I would think that would be like, oh, my, a scary thing to see.
Sometimes I think of how guys transitioned from football to the real world. And, I don't know if the study is right or if it's wrong or anything like that, but guys that leave the game on their own terms versus guys that leave, on bad terms or maybe before they wanted to, which are most guys, and I wonder if that can be a problem. I remember sitting down with a running back from the Cowboys, Felix Jones.
Okay.
And asking me, we were at a charity event in Iowa. Randomly, we were at a charity event in Iowa for a friend of mine. And he asked me, he said, Briggs, what are you doing? And I told him, exactly what I told the SCORE team. I said, I fill my plate up. I just stay as busy. If somebody has a charity event, I'm there, or I'm building an event, or I'm building this, or I'm putting together projects, I'm work around the house, I'm handling all my nieces and nephews. And I said, what are you doing? He's like, he said, man, I don't know. He was like, I love football so much. He was like, and it, now that it's been taken away, it's learning, what am I going to do now?
Yeah, I see that. I mean, I always wonder about that with any professional athlete. Like, you've worked so hard
mm-hmm.
to get to this point in time, and people don't give enough credit to that. Like, everybody in the world plays basketball or football or
yep.
And you are the 0.1% that made it.
Made it, right.
Like, it's a lot of dedication.
Right.
A lot.
Right.
And then that's gone, and hopefully you made a bunch of dough, and you're okay that way. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But then, mm-hmm. but regardless of the money, it's like, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
You're 35 years old.
I preach to a lot of kids too, football wise. I'm like, look, you guys understand that if football is your dream, for the few of you that might possibly break through and make it, you need to have more than one dream. I said, you don't have to have just one dream. I said, because football players, we retire in our 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Say you retire in your 20s and 30s, and that was your only dream. You're gonna be living life the rest of your life trying to figure things out.
Right. I mean, I think even for like the regular person who likes, so hopefully you work till you were 60, and mm-hmm. maybe you made enough money, and now you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you want to do 60 plus? You might live to be 90 years old. I mean, maybe more. That's 30 more years.
Well, I mean, if you live in the 90s, you Jenny do is you're going to struggle to get from here to the bathroom.
This is the truth. This is the truth. But, you know, the end goal is not to sit. The point is the end goal is not to just sit on the couch.
Right.
Like, I'm done.
Right.
Like, you know, no matter what age, what's next?
Yeah.
So, all right. Here, let's wrap up a couple football thoughts. What I hear it all the time that Lovie was the greatest and that you guys all loved Lovie. I want to know, you know, what made Lovie so great to you? Because for the fans, it was hard to connect with Lovie because he would never give anything to the media, and he was real stoic.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys were so loyal and loving of Lovie that I want to know, like, what was it that he did that connected with you all so much?
No, I mean, he was fair. I thought the one thing that he always was fair, you know. And when he said when he sat in front of the team, he said, "I'm going to treat you like men." That's exactly what he did. You know, he always said that our problems – any issues that we have are in-house. They're not other people's problems, you know, and nobody else is going to understand us, you know. So any issues that we have, we keep it here, and, you know, you protect this group. He's always said you always protect this group. Oh, you know, I always respected that. You know, I think sometimes he was put in some messed up positions, and you know, he took some heat, but he had a lot of respect from his players.
Fair enough. It makes sense. In the room. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Business of football. You're here one day. You're gone the next. We'll pay you.
Facts.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how do you, you know, look at what the league does and be grateful for everything it gave you, but then also sort of have, like, the balance and not be bitter about it, too? Like, I think there's a – or maybe you are. I don't know. Like, I it's hard for me to look at it and see guys and not feel like on some level you're just – you're a number on a line, and that's it. But then the other side's like, hey, man, they pay you a lot of money to be that number on a line, and there's no, you know, all that. Do you get what I'm sort of getting at?
I got you. Yeah. No, I got you. We're a rotating product, yeah. You know, that fuels a billion-dollar business.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's rewarded us in ways we probably couldn't have imagined. Or we probably never would have been able to do without, you know, playing that sport and loving the sport. However, the effects of playing this sport are lifelong.
Yep.
And since they're lifelong effects, guys should be, you know, taken care of for a lifelong time. You know,
no question.
You know, when it comes to medical issues, we're at a point where we're still studying new medical issues. There's a new medical issue out that is now, you know, people are actually addressing. And there wasn't any serious protocol until my last year playing football, my last year or so, year and a half or so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I look at what, like, the Bears, I was reading, because I saw your list today, I was reading up on Wilbur Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears gave Wilbur Marshall a long, I don't know if you know this, they gave him like a 20-year contract, and he was getting paid $72,000 a year. Nothing, right? 72 grand. And they stopped paying him in year 12 of 19. He had to sue them for $72,000 in the billion-dollar NFL.
Yep.
And I know you love the Bears, and I, whatever, as a fan, I love them too, but come on, man. Are you kidding?
They're going to do it unless you force them. I mean, that's in a lot of businesses now. I mean, you hear, you know, yeah. You look in the music business, and you have these tragedies happening all the time.
Yeah.
Oh man, well, we signed this contract. Well, once you sign the contract, you should have read it.
Yeah.
You know, this and that. You know, it's in all facets of life now.
Well, that's true too. Hey, mm-hmm. If they can get away with not paying you, well, we could look at.
I'm not gonna praise it, but it's happening.
No. Okay. Right. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's reality. Your favorite interception of all time.
Woo.
Pick six, Brett Favre. Where are we going?
Definitely a pick six. I had a lot of pick sixes against Brett Favre. It's probably my first pick six against him, my rookie year.
Okay.
Returned it about 30, 35 yards.
Okay.
You know, didn't even celebrate well. Guys came, knocked me down, but I was happy.
Were those the favorite games playing up at Lambeau, playing Green Bay, or would you, I don't know, I mean, you know, you played in the Super Bowl too and all that, but what would you say was your most fun, like walking on the field that you'd be the most jacked for?
I mean, those games were good because a lot of those games we played, lights out defense, you know, and
yeah.
You know, it went back and forth because those games we play lights out defense, but we still lose the game, you know, 10-12,
yeah.
You know, and last few seconds of the game, like a big throw was made, but you know, yeah. It was always it was the interview, you know, it was the interview where Aaron Rodgers said, you know, we know what they're going to do. Yeah. You're going to be in cover two. We're going to have to check the ball down all day. It's going to be a boring day. I got, you know, as a defensive guy, you know, I got a lot of pleasure from stuff like that.
Yeah, and well, that was, you were going up against some greats right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's two Hall of Famers, no doubt about it. Do you have, if you had one thing that you could say, like, I wish I had done this differently when I was playing, is there anything that comes to mind that way?
I wish I would have stripped the ball more strip attempts.
Well, Pino was doing that for you.
Yeah, but you know what? I had a lot of missed attempts.
Okay.
You know, I had a lot of opportunities where you turn the tape on and you know, our coach is like, you missed a strip attempt. You missed a strip attempt. You know, and now you get to the, you know, the back end, you know, my last 4 years, now I'm punching the ball out more often and it's in my head. And now when I go out and I see, you know, I coach kids up in Arizona, you know, every opportunity, every play is an opportunity to get the ball out.
Yeah, I see that whole part of it too, just from a real amateur side, I don't get how the ball doesn't come out more. I mean, you guys are going in there. I mean, these are some strong dudes.
Yeah, but the good thing, see, some people don't understand it, you know, is they think it, because you're punching the ball, it means you're going to miss the tackle.
Yeah.
But if you're a team that takes the ball away, then you're also a team that the offense have to worry about.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because some of the offenses that we play against, guys are running the ball with both hands around the, you know, the football, with both arms around the football. Well, you're not moving very fast if you're
right.
doing this.
Right.
You know, but that was the respect, and that means we're gonna tee off on you now.
Right. And then you get to do the glory, right?
Oh yeah.
There it is. Last one. The way the NFL is protecting the quarterback or and overall trying to make the game safe. Like, I almost would say, why don't you just have guys sign a waiver when they come into the league? Football is a dangerous game. I don't know what shape I'm going to be in when I leave, but I am signing up to play because I love the game, and let's get a little more old school going on. Am I way off on this?
No, but you're missing out on a lot, though. If you do that, if you do a waiver where somebody says, I understand the damages and things that are going to happen in football, I would sign that if the NFL said, we are going to take care of you and make sure that since you protect in our sport, we will protect you and make sure that you are taken care of for a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that be a win-win?
I believe that's a win-win now.
All right. I mean, let's wrap it up on that then. Roger, I know you're watching. What do you think of Roger?
Roger Padactor.
Fair enough. Lance, great to be with you.
You got it, brother.
LanceBriggs.com, Briggs for Kids. Check out what he's doing with Score, with a Q, S-Q-O-R. We appreciate the time.
You got it, brother.